Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of the channel, welcome back to another episode of our series In the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. There are many blessings and virtues in sending salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated that he who recites salat upon the noble Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bestow 10 blessings upon that person. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, mashallah, previously we have learnt about the beginning of the blessed biography or the blessed incident from the biography of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the incident of the hijrah, the migration of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, along with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they traveled from Makkah al-Mukarramah to al-Madinah al-Munawwarah. But from what we have heard as of yet up until this point, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first went in the opposite direction from Makkah al-Mukarramah. He went towards Ghari Thawr. They spent 3 nights at Ghari Thawr. And then on Monday night, they left for al-Madinah al-Munawwarah. Now, it's stated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he was with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and along with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he left on a Thursday. Yes, he left on a Thursday for the cave and they spent 3 nights within the cave. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr, the son of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would regularly come and visit during those 3 nights. He would come and visit Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would spend the nights along with them. During the day, he would remain in Makkah al-Mukarramah and he would listen to the news of the plans that they had, and at night he would come and share this with them. And also Amir ibn Fuhaira, the slave of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what he would do is the sheep of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he would graze the sheep at that place in between Makkah al-Mukarramah and between the Ghari Thawr, so that when Abdullah would be traveling in the nights, then the people wouldn't notice his footsteps. Why? Because the footsteps of the sheep would graze over and they would pass over those footsteps. As well as this, it's stated that he would bring those sheep towards Ghari Thawr and graze them there towards Ghari Thawr. And without reason, suspicion this is, he would graze them there and he would also bring some to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu to allow them to drink fresh milk at night. Allahu Akbar. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he would also receive food from Sayyidatuna Asma, the blessed daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So in this way, this is how they spent 3 days there. Now some people would be wondering, if there was a spider's web there, then how is it that they came and they met the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How is it that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would leave the cave too, if he had wished to do so? So the scholars have stated that it's possible. Of course, this is not out of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the web would be spun by the spider on a daily basis, possibly. Or maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created an opening, another opening for them to have escaped. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, as to who himself did this, wallahu alam. Maybe the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he was aware that he will go, but he was not aware when. So maybe this was Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did this. But one of them, they hired a guide. Before leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, the name of this individual was Abdullah ibn Urayqid. Now, Abdullah ibn Urayqid, he was a brilliant guide. He was very, very famous and he was possibly the best. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. But Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahu ta'ala and even later Imam Nabawi rahimahullah ta'ala have mentioned that it is not known as to whether or not he accepted Islam. Although Imam Zahabi rahimahullah ta'ala in his book Al-Isaba, he counts Abdullah ibn Urayqid from amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. However, we cannot say, you know, if he is, subhanallah, he's amongst the greatest of all people in history. If not, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes uses even those people who are disbelievers to aid and help the religion of Islam. Subhanallah. Either way, subhanallah, no matter what happened, whether he was a Muslim or whether he was not, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he hired him, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also trusted him with the camels, because he was to wait. The camels were handed over to him for these 3 days. Whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, whilst they were in the cave, the camels were given to him, and they promised to meet after 3 days. So it was all, this was all prepared, yes, by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that at the cave of Thawr, Ghari Thawr, so he was away too. And another question is that how much did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pay him? Allahu alam. Allah ta'ala and his Messenger wa Rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best how much the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have paid him. But maybe just taking this, he was either, there's two things. He was either a very, very trustworthy person, or he was a Muslim. Because why did he knew about the 100 camels? Why did he not sell them out? He could have. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Maybe he didn't due to his belief. Wallahu alam, there are other signs that he was not a Muslim. But again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So what happens is after the 3 days, he brings these camels to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then they set off on this journey. Who was it that set off? It was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, and on the same camel as Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, there was his servant Amir ibn Fuhayra, his slave. He used to be his slave. He accepted Islam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu had bought him out and freed him too. There was Sayyidina Amir ibn Fuhayra radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu as a third person. And the fourth was Abdullah ibn Urayqid, who had guided the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as well as Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. Now, you see, do you know the story of Hijrah is beautiful in many, many ways. But one is the secrecy, and another is the preparation. How everything was so brilliantly prepared. How rather than going north straight to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwar, they first went south. And then, okay, when they did go north, it was a straight route. You know, 3-4 people could travel very, very quickly. 3 or 4 people were to travel, they could travel very, very quickly. However, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did not go back to Makkah, but even below Makkah, they took the coastal route next to a place known as Asfan. So they went by Asfan. This is the route they took towards the coast. Allahu Akbar. And what happened? They took this coastal route. They didn't take the highway. So of course, there was not a highway the way there would be a highway nowadays, where there was a road which was prepared. However, there were highways in the way that people would take a regular path. And when horses have taken this regular path so regularly, then that path would become, you know, it was like a naturally made path. But they did not go that way. They went a more, you can say, a treacherous, a more difficult path, what they went by. Until where the roads intersected is what has been stated. They passed by a large rock. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, they then sat to rest. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam also slept. He took shade by this rock and then he slept sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw a shepherd and the shepherd had his sheep. And whether he asked for it, wallahu a'lam, but he milked some of them. And then he cooled this milk for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And upon the awakening of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he presented this and he gave this to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu would serve. And later we shall hear, and especially today we shall hear, the story of Ummi Ma'bad. They passed by, and this is the story where they passed by a place known as Qudayd. This is a very well known place. And there is a lady known as Ummi Ma'bad. Her name is Atika, and she was from the Khuza'a tribe. She was described as a Barza lady, meaning she was very, very honorable. She was dignified. She was an elderly woman. Yes, and some say that she was a woman of, meaning she was of an advanced age, you can say, who had become distinguished and no longer secluded. She was very, very strong. She was able, and she would sit at the entrance of her tent. Very, very hospitable, you can say. Now, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu and the others, when they come to Sayyidina Ummi Ma'bad radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, they ask if she has anything. And she says, and her reply is that, I swear by Allah, if you had anything, then we would not withhold this from you, this hospitality, we would not withhold it from you. And this is what she says. So subhanAllah, they come at a time when she has no food left. She has basically nothing left. And she was not very rich either. Just what little she had, she would give to those who would walk by, to the travelers. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon hearing this, he sees that there is a sheep in, you know, in the corner, either in the corner of the tent, possibly in the tent. And this sheep was very, 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 very weak. And, you know, possibly, clearly did not have any milk. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, does this sheep, you know, does it have any milk? And she replies, she says, no, it is too weak for that. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, do you permit me to milk her? Now, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks her, does that sheep, goat, does it have any milk? She replies, no, it is too weak. But yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks for permission. Do you permit me to milk her? And then she replies and says, yes, if you see that it has milk, then yes, go ahead. But this itself is strange if you think about this. It's quite strange. She could have just said, I just told you that no, there is no milk. Or I know, I own the sheep, it's in my tent. I would know if the sheep has any milk or not. And I told you it does not have milk. But maybe due to how she later describes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe she was taken aback and amazed by the beauty of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She could not reject him. Or she knew there was something unique and something special about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He then takes hold of the sheep and he places his leg between his shin and the thigh. Yes, between his shin and his thigh. And he begins to milk it. It's stated that he rubs his udder, or some state that he rubs his back, and he mentions the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sheep then spreads his legs, and his udder is instantaneously, you can say, instantaneously filled with milk. He then asks for a vessel, but he doesn't ask for an ordinary vessel, but rather he asks for a vessel which can satisfy the thirst of a large group of people. And then he begins to milk it, and no doubt producing a strong flow, milk gushing out of the udders. And what does the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He first gives it to Ummi Ma'bad to drink. And when she has drunk to her satisfaction, he then provides it to another person, Sayyid Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, Amir ibn Fuhayra, provides every one of them. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drinks. And he says that the one who serves the people, he should drink last. What a beautiful You can say mana taught to us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the manas taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, that the one who is to feed the people, that individual should drink last. And then he milks it again, and they drink once more, and each and every single one of them drinks until, you know, until they have filled themselves as much as they need to. What happens is soon after Abu Ma'bad comes. Abu Ma'bad, when he arrives, different scholars have mentioned different names. What was his name exactly? But he famously known as Abu Ma'bad. And Abu Ma'bad comes and he went out. Why? He was grazing sheep and he had very, very thin sheep who would take a long time to travel. So after some time he comes and he sees all of this milk and he's amazed and says, you know, oh Abu Ma'bad, where did this milk come from? How did he get all of this? The sheep were with me. The sheep were so far away. The one that you had is infertile, is not able to bring about milk, etc. And she replies, she says, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I didn't take it from there, but Mubarak came. Mubarak passed by, and this was the condition, this was the situation. Mubarak did this, and she tells him the story that, you know, he placed his hand on the sheep and it brought all of this milk. And then every one of us, we drank from it. Subhanallah, he's thinking, oh, what's happened here? Mubarak. Who's this Mubarak? Who is Mubarak? You see, she didn't ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his name. So she just says, you know, Mubarak came. Mubarak means a blessed person. Immediately she recognizes that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is such a blessed person. She just calls him Mubarak, the blessed one. Yeah, Mubarak came. Mubarak did this, and Mubarak this, and Mubarak that. And he says, well, he's intrigued. And he says, describe Mubarak to me. Oh, Umm Ma'bad. And Umm Ma'bad, she says, and this description is one of the most profound descriptions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout the entire seerah and the ahadith that we have. She says, I saw a man with evident brightness, meaning he had beauty and splendor, with a radiant face. Yes, his face was shining. And he was of good character. He had no visible signs of weakness or tiredness. He was handsome and well proportioned. His eyes were intensely black. His eyelashes were long. His voice was deep. His eyes were, the whiteness was extremely white, the blackness extremely black. And his eyebrows were fine and they were arched. Allahu Akbar. And subhanallah, that it also mentions he had very, very long eyelashes. She states that he had a unibrow. She continues to describe and says that his hair was jet black and his beard was thick. And he was silent. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was silent and he had the air of dignity to him. And when he spoke, he was distinguished by his eloquence, as if his words were pearls arranged in long strands that flowed. She says, his voice was more sweet. It was more sweet. He was neither abrupt nor excessive, you know, and he was risen with the people. Whenever he would speak, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was, you know, everybody would listen. He was the most beautiful and the most handsome of people. Allahu Akbar, from afar. And as he would get closer, his attractiveness, his beauty would only increase. Subhanallah, this is how she describes him. That his face becomes more and more beautiful the longer you would look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His height was average, he was neither too tall, and the eye would not reject him for being short. Meaning he was neither too tall, he was neither too short. And it's stated, she says, that he is a branch in between two branches, referring to the two companions that he had with him, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as well as Amir ibn Fuhayra. And this is one of the reasons why the scholars mention that Abdullah ibn Awrayqid, why is it that he was never mentioned? Because he was not amongst the companions, but wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. She says he was the most radiant of all people. And he has companions who surround him, you know, as if, and they would act like guards for him. When he would speak, they would listen very, very quietly and they would pay their full attention to his words. When he would command, they would rush to fulfill his commandment. Allahu Akbar. Abu Ma'bad, hearing this, he says, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, this is the man from Quraysh. whom, you know, everybody's talking about, we've been hearing about him. If I had seen him, I would have followed him. Allahu Akbar. So Abu Ma'bad radiallahu ta'ala anhu states why? Because Abu Ma'bad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he later comes and accepts Islam. After he has heard this story, he says, you know, let's go and embrace Islam. Yes? And all three of them, eventually, all three of them, they go and accept Islam. And it said that what happened is Umm Ma'bad radiallahu ta'ala anha, she goes with her son. Yes, and they go towards Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah because they heard of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they come towards Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah, you see, they don't know his name. They don't know much about him. And what happens is the son sees Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu walking past. And the son says, oh, that's the companion of Mubarak. And then they approach him and they ask him for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they come to the court of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they accept Islam. Now, another something which is beautiful, which is mentioned in Zurqani, that this family Abu Ma'bad, Umm Ma'bad radhiyallahu anha, she would celebrate, or she would mark even this time of when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived. And whether it's every year, it's not mentioned exactly whether it's a yearly basis, whether it's a monthly or even a weekly basis. But they would celebrate this event, they would mark this event, and they would remember this event, that this was the time when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to our house or came to our tent. So that's, you can say, that is their Eid, that's greater than any Eid, and that is their Eid. And they would mark this, possibly, I've not read the word Eid, but they would mark this as, you know, a great event, and not that it was a great event. Not that it was, you know, what can match this? Subhanallah. And it said about that sheep that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, its udders, who the, upon which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his blessed hand or upon his back, that she states that this sheep remained with them up until the Aam al-Ramada. Now, the Aam al-Ramada is known as the Year of Ashes. Yes, and this was in the year 17 or 18th Hijrah. Why? Because when the wind blew, it would scatter dust. And that scattered dust resembled ash. And then the land became very, very barren. And it was basically a year of famine. That's exactly what it was. It was a year of famine. Everybody was hungry. Animals were hungry. During that time when other people could not gain milk or anything, morning and evening they would continue to take milk from this blessed sheep, which was touched and blessed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. A no doubt a great miracle of the Messenger of Allah. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, the best description or amongst the greatest descriptions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, given by Sayyidatuna Umm Ma'bad radiallahu ta'ala anha, who described the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so beautifully. Honestly, she describes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so beautifully. And this place is known as where? It's known as Qudayd. It's known as Qudayd. And people could visit there today too, inshallah. Make it, try to, if you can do, try to take the extra time out and go and visit this blessed place. No doubt, this is a blessed place, inshallah. So this, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, that's all for today, inshallah. We had a little, the story of Umm Ma'bad, the migration of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. And there are other events too, inshallah. In the next episode, we shall hear the event of Suraqa. Subhanallah, a beautiful, a brilliant incident, inshallah. We shall come to learn of. That's all for now, my dear viewers. Try to watch this program regularly, inshallah, in which we hear about the life, the biography of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Join us for more of our series in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for more on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.